Today, on our journey through the season of creation, we encounter the word advocate, or advocate. And as some of you may know, the word advocate comes from the Latin root advocare, meaning to call or call to one's aid. Don't worry, I'm not giving you a Latin lesson. I didn't take that in seminary. So to pair the word advocate or advocate with our Hebrew scripture and gospel texts worked really well for us today, or for me today. So when I worked in higher education, I supervised and mentored a large staff. One of the staff members that I mentored struggled a lot with overcommitment. Maybe some of us understand that here today. They volunteered for everything, sat on several department as well as campus-wide committees. One day, they walked into my office and just plopped down on the chair I had for guests there. They just looked exhausted. I asked what they'd been up to that day, and they listed off about 6 meetings they'd already been to. It wasn't even noon, right? And I asked what they might be able to let go of or have taken off their plate. They looked at me and just burst into tears. So I knew this was more than just exhaustion. So once they kind of gathered themselves up a little bit and went through a good handful of tissue, I asked what was behind those tears. And they said, "I don't know how to let go of anything without feeling like I'm failing or that I'm not enough." I took a deep breath, having felt very similar feelings in my own journey in higher education, being a director and a boss and a supervisor of many people. I let them know I'd heard them and wanted to hear more about where they thought some of those expectations might be coming from. I wanted to make sure that as a department or as supervisors, we hadn't set up unrealistic expectation for them, as well as hear where that pressure was coming from for them. So after a very long talk, we both walked away with new understandings of each other, and they walked away with a different path forward and a better understanding of their own energy buckets and paths of joy, terms that we had learned in a departmental workshop. They also moved forward with fewer meetings and some new questions to ponder, knowing that no matter how many committees they were on, they were absolutely enough. So in our readings from the Hebrew scriptures and the story from Exodus, we see the story of the manna in the wilderness. The text begins with the Israelites complaining to Moses and Aaron about their hunger and the current conditions of their journey. As God replies to Moses, what unfolds is more than a promise of food, but a routine to gather it. Meat in the morning and manna in the evening. And there's also an instruction that they shall have their fill. They will not need to worry. They'll have enough. The response of God to the complaints of the people is to provide them with structure for their day and enough food for the journey. The people of Israel call upon God, and God responds in kind with no more or no less than what is needed. In our gospel texts, we find the parable of the landowner. Now, this text has been interpreted and pulled apart and put back together so many times over, I didn't really want to go with the 12,000 commentaries that I found on it. So I wanted to simply ask a question. What is this saying to us today in our context, for us in this room? What does it say to us that day laborers facing wage inequality is still very much a part of our modern landscape? And truly, the bigger picture of this text is the upending of norms, as the text concludes with, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." But we can't gloss over how this text makes us feel. When we hear the end of this text and see that those who work an hour are paid the same as those who have been working all day, what feeling comes up for us? Were we happy that this was their lucky day? Or were we upset for those folks who'd been working longer, maybe thinking they shouldn't get more, or they should get more? Now, there's no right or wrong answer. This isn't a sermon about that. Just a noticing of what that text brought up for us. Because in Jesus' time, he was challenging the systems of power and cultural norms. For the last to be first and the first to be last is a radical concept then and now. And what Jesus is calling us to lean into and understand is that in the kingdom of heaven, sometimes we have to upend things. Sometimes we have to realize that we had things in the wrong order. We were serving the first first. We're serving people in ways we wanted to serve them instead of the ways they really needed to be served. And this becomes a call to reevaluate our priorities, not necessarily judge them, but to evaluate them. Just as the person I worked with found their way to a deep understanding of themselves, their capacities, and their limitations, we too are being asked to understand our own humanity in this way. While God walks alongside us on this journey, we are reminded that we are enough as we are. We don't need to do more or give more than we have. While God provides enough, no more, no less. In community, we can spread the needs out amongst many to help ensure that no one person bears too much. Yet, are we asking each other if that is true? Do we know what the needs of our neighbors are? Those next to us in the pews, down the street, and down the road? These are not questions that we ask and answer alone. We answer them in community, with one another, as a congregation, as a broader community. To be a people focused not only on our lives within the walls of this church on Sunday, but also on the communities we are part of all of the other days of the week. Both our Hebrew scripture and the gospel remind us that we are given enough to do the work we are called to do. Sometimes that means we need to do less, and sometimes it means we can do just a little more. Regardless of what we do, we must remember that we are always enough in the eyes of God. Beloved creations of God, loved without condition. And our text reminds us that God is our greatest advocate. And while God may not answer the way we always expect, we are assured God accompanies us on the journey, providing food and guidance along the way. So my prayer for us all is that we find ways to advocate meaningfully and rest in the loving reminder that God has created us to be enough. Amen.